Saturday, June 12th. The president came into the office this morning to while away the time before the wedding, and we got into a long discussion of the Rogers problem, as it was evidenced on the boat last night, Thursday night, and during some of the developments yesterday. I then used that occasion to bring up with him the Mideast question that Kissinger had raised with Mitchell and me yesterday afternoon, and the fact that Mitchell wanted to see the president on it. The president suggested that first Mitchell should see Rogers, should make it clear to him that the president is keeping Kissinger out of this, and he should marshal his arguments completely and then pursue it with Bill. And the president's point is that if Mitchell tells the president now, the question is, what should the president do? Of course, Mitchell does have a couple recommendations. He feels the president first should continue some aid to Israel rather than cutting it all off, which is his understanding he plans now to do. And secondly, that he should get somebody in the White House on his own staff to monitor completely all activity there, recognizing that he won't let Henry do this. He needs someone else to do it. He can't just let state make his foreign policy in this area. When I made that point to the president, he said, well, what he's really saying then is that we can't let state make foreign policy in any area. And president also asked me to check out the state recommendation regarding China, saying state had suggested that he announce the trade list, because that shocked him. Then he said he wanted me to be the broker with Bill, wanted me to say that Mitchell had been very close to this thing through the New York committees, the political setup, and so on, and that Mitchell wants to talk to the president, but the president felt he should talk to you, Rogers, first, that it's very difficult and delicate because the president is keeping Kissinger out of it. So Rogers and Mitchell should have a talk, keeping Kissinger out of it. He also wanted me to be sure to tell Mitchell not to tell Rogers that Kissinger sees Rabin on a regular basis. Kissinger's view is that by seeing Rabin, that's the only thing that's managed to keep the lid on the whole Mideast thing up to now. The president then wanted me also to pursue with Mitchell the basic question, which is, what should we do with Rogers? And he kept coming back to this during a long morning of general conversation, the terrible problem of what to do with Rogers. It obviously really worries him, and he knows that the right thing to do is to move him out, but it's very hard for him to face. In the early afternoon, he went over to the EOB and had some lunch, and then after a while he called me and said he wanted to go down to the press tent and see what the setup was before the wedding. So he did. While he was over there, though, and before we get into that, he did also get into a thing before he went over about the approach to the press, and he says he thinks we ought to make the point, as he does, that he knows what the press is, that that his approach is not one of taking him on like Agnew, but rather one of being sympathetic and understanding regarding their problem. They're screwing us, we know it, and we'll handle it, but don't butter them up, such as the social affairs and the gridiron dinners, etc., because we lose respect there. He just wants to say, I know you're against me, but I'm aware of it. You should be aware of it too, and recognize that everything's loaded against us, but we're dealing with it that way. He also wants to get out to the press that he doesn't get into the pandering editorials, and never looks at those. Then he during the morning kept looking out to see if it was going to rain, because that was the big problem with the question of having the wedding outside. He felt very strongly it should be outside, and finally by noon, when they were about to make the decision to move in, because it was raining a little bit then and looked like it was going to rain some more, he talked to Rex Scouten, confirmed that they could still probably work it out even if it drizzled. Then he, at my suggestion, he called Tricia and talked for a little while and bolstered her up, because she wanted to keep it outside also, although Julie and Pat and everybody else was urging that they move it in. On that basis, they made the decision to go outside, and it was a good decision, even though it was touch and go for quite a while, because it did rain on and off, and the guests did get a little wet. Anyway, from the EOB, he called and said he wanted to go down to the press tent. Ziegler and I joined him, We walked down West Executive into the southwest gate, across the drive and down to the press tent. He did a walking press interview all the way, and they got a lot of pretty good personal questions. The one where he got tangled up a bit was on the honeymoon when they asked him where they were going, and he misunderstood the question, asked if, and thought they were asking if he were going, which he said he could tell them he wasn't. And they said, no, we're asking where they're going. He said, well, I can tell you that wherever they're going, I won't be there, thus giving him a pretty good hint that it was Camp David. And that Helen Thomas caught and asked if it was a hint, but the president ignored her question, so he got away from it. The actual seating of the guests had to be delayed for about 45 minutes because of the rain. They held them in the South Hall. And the president started getting pretty nervous. He kept calling me from upstairs saying to hurry up and get it set up and get them going, especially after the rain stopped. He didn't want them to waste time pulling up the plastic covering from the carpet or anything else. He just wanted to get the chairs up and the guests seated and the thing underway. As it turned out, it worked out beautifully, and the whole thing was a sensational success. On the way out of the aisle, the president and Mrs. Nixon cut out from the regular procession and went over to greet Mrs. Takash, who was in a wheelchair and is in extremely bad shape. It was a very touching moment. As Joe and I went through the receiving line, Tricia made the point that it was Bob and Daddy who stuck with us on doing it outside and worked the whole thing out, and obviously she was very pleased that we had. The president distinguished himself during the dancing period as he very graciously danced not only with Tricia but then with Pat and then Linda Robb and Julie and I guess one or two others, but looked like he was having a good time and did a superb job of it. After the bridal couple left, the president and Mrs. Nixon went upstairs, and he called me up. They were, he and Pat, Julie, and Bebe were in the West Hall talking the whole thing over, and the president asked me for a rundown on how it had all gone. I gave them a very enthusiastic report. The president was in great spirits, was talking about dancing with the Robs, and said as he was dancing with Pat and looked over there, he looking kind of wistfully as they were thinking about their wedding there. And he said to Pat, let's dance with them. And they headed for the two of them and got them out onto the floor, which was a great gesture. Also, Julie wanted to watch the thing on TV, and the president said, if you do, I'm going to have to leave. But we persuaded him to look at it on TV on the NBC special, which came on right at that time. And he saw himself going down the aisle and made the comment that, well, at least I'm standing pretty straight. Obviously, the ladies in the family have been nagging him about standing up straight, and he was pleased to see himself looking pretty good. The TV was great, and he realized it, so it was a good thing he did watch it. And I think that bucked him up, too. All in all, the whole thing was a sensational day, the end of June 12th.